This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning.
Of course, it's the first Friday of the month, and that means it's non-farm payroll day, US jobs numbers, and we've seen 143,000 non-farm payroll jobs in January, which actually is lower than expected. I know analysts had expected something like 26,000 more. So how have markets reacted to this news?
Yeah, it's actually a bit of an interesting report, Johnny, because we do have, as you mentioned, a light print in terms of the numbers that were reported for the month of January compared to forecasts. However, there's a bit of a unpacking here we have to do. So let's go through it, and I'll try and give you the simplistic overview. So we had 143,000 jobs added compared to forecast, which was lower than forecast, but we also revised last period's numbers, so that would be December's numbers, from 256,000 up to 307,000 jobs. So that's an upward revision that's worth mentioning. So while we missed 26K in January's numbers, we bumped significantly higher, like 49,000 in December. So there's a net jobs gain there, which I think is very worth mentioning. That's why we saw kind of a very mixed response. Initially, markets, you know, for the dollar, for example, went lower, then it popped back higher. So all over the place. And then we take a look at the other components here of the NFP report. We also get unemployment rate, which came in lower than forecast. We were expecting 4.1%, holding steady on unemployment. We actually ticked lower, down to 4%. And then finally, average hourly earnings came in higher than expected, 0.5% month over month compared to forecasts of 0.3. And the summary here, I would actually give it a pretty strong jobs print compared to what markets were forecasting. The only red here, like I said, was this January's numbers that came in a little bit soft. So the dollar index is very mixed. If you take a look at it, for example, I'm looking at an hourly chart right now. At the time of recording this, it's 9 a.m. U.S. Eastern time, or 9:30, and we can see a bit of a mixed response. It went up, it went down, it's all over the place. But I think this kind of ends up for the dollar index. We are on the daily chart looking around like a 107.7 for DXY. You can see that's largely, you know, an unmoved level from where we have been in the last few weeks. Now, we had a huge spike on Monday due to tariff concerns, and throughout the week, we've kind of dwindled back down to this key area of support around 107.5, and just an interesting level to continue to watch as we go into the Fed's next decision. I think that we think about this, we say, what does this change, right? What does this really change the kind of lineup for the Fed? And I would say mostly not. Yields are higher here today. You have the 10-year yield up by 1%, trading at 4.48%. That's U.S. 10-year government treasury bond yields. So that kind of signaling that the Fed is still expected to possibly cut rates, but not expected to cut them aggressively or quickly, especially with this number following JOLTS this week. JOLTS job openings were pretty light, so markets may have been on the edge of their seat saying, if you get a weak jobs print, oh boy, we might have rate cuts coming. Well, didn't quite get that. So jobs print was definitely not super weak and probably leans a little bit more on the strong side.
And in terms of interest rates to come, what do we think is going to happen next?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think that a rate hike is in the cards right now. Had we seen, you know, just a really uptick in inflation, our last round of inflation was pretty non-threatening, right? Had we seen really high inflation and a really strong jobs print, yeah, the market might have been a little bit on edge about a possible rate hike this year. But I think what we're seeing is labor market data is not incredibly hot. We had some weakness in the labor market this week from the JOLTS job openings, as mentioned. But at the same time, it's not super weak either. I think what we have to decipher is, okay, jobs are in a good place, not an exceptional, not a terrible spot. And inflation doesn't seem to be taking off either. So I think it's pretty reasonable to see what the market is kind of saying as the likely scenario, which is the Fed's probably not going to move that far this year. Maybe we get a cut, maybe we don't, But what difference does it make? That's a very small kind of narrow shift. And there is obviously a difference that it makes, but it's not like we're, you know, back in 2023 and 2024, Johnny, we're on this podcast. We were trying to figure out if we were going to get 6 rate cuts or if we were going to get 3, right? It's a very different landscape this year.
Oh, halcyon days, they really were. Talking of rate cuts, Nick, of course, as expected, yesterday we saw the Bank of England cut its key rate by 25 basis points to 4.5%, which was in line with analysts' expectations. However, the central bank certainly demonstrated a more dovish stance than the market had forecast. That obviously has put a bit of pressure on sterling. And I was interested to see the minutes of the Monetary Policy Committee, which of course decides on these matters. And it showed that 2 out of the 9 members, in fact, supported a rate cut of 50 basis points, which I think was quite surprising. And at the same time, analysts had expected 1 member to vote in favor of keeping the current rate. So overall, pretty dovish and a very good indicator to what might happen in the next 2 or 3 months. Next time around, we might get another quarter point cut, and there are some people are suggesting maybe another 3 this year. And obviously, that's had an effect on the pound.
Absolutely. And a little bit of a, just speaking of the pound first, pound has been, you know, under pressure here for several months against the dollar, trading at 1.2456 at the time of recording this. And as you mentioned, yeah, that all 9 kind of votes in favor of a cut just shows you a little bit of where the committee is feeling on the rate cut stuff. It's clear that Bank of England seems poised for more rate cuts. It's a little bit of a divergence here, like I said, from the Fed, who may remain unchanged this year. They may cut once, but again, very different conversations being had here in the Bank of England side of things, where it seems more likely, as you mentioned, that, I mean, that's an interesting point too. When we think about more committee members potentially even more willing to make a bigger cut than what we saw, right? We saw a 25 basis point cut. There were some hinting at a 50. We saw a 50 basis point cut for the Fed last year, and that was kind of all the rage and in market headlines. So, you know, will we see something like that in the UK? I'm sure that if you get some more economic weakness, that there's a possibility that those rate cuts could speed up. But clearly, the direction for the Bank of England at this time is more rate cuts.
Nick, so far we haven't mentioned the T word, tariffs, today, and the uncertainty over tariffs continues. This uncertainty has had an effect on the gold price, though, hasn't it?
It has. Gold continues to push higher, even on a day like today, where you mostly had a jobs print that continues to show labor market stability. You still got gold hitting pretty close to an all-time high, around $28.76 an ounce against the U.S. dollar, that spot price. I think that there's a number of factors here. The big one being, like you said, the tariff concept, right? There's a little bit of a countdown here. I think that, as you mentioned, that 30-day deadline is probably going to be top of mind for investors throughout this period. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if gold continues to remain supported with those uncertainties looming. We know something about gold. It typically thrives on uncertainty. And that 30-day countdown, until there's some sort of more concrete resolution, you know, market jitters may continue to keep this hitting all-time highs, despite what arguably was a decently strong jobs print here today.
Okay, let's look ahead to the next few days and the week ahead. What stands out for you?
Yeah, so next week we do have Powell speaking on Tuesday. We also have Governor Bailey out of the UK, Bank of England. We also have CPI numbers, which are big, right? So we just had the labor statistics, US CPI, and Powell speaking both on actually Tuesday and Wednesday. So we've got some key stuff there from inflation reads. PPI will follow on Thursday, and on Friday we get US retail sales. GDP numbers also on Thursday, by the way, for the UK. So good round of UK and US data coming out next week.
Okay, Nick, have a great weekend, and we will speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.